October brought familiar faces in new positions, continued services in new locations, remembering and finding history, and new ideas. With this step back into 2024, I'm Melissa Patrick. The month would see the official resignation announcement of Commissioner Ray Eiler and the Republican Committee appoint primary election winner Eric Strauss to the vacant position, since he will be filling it come January anyway.
State law says that if a public official is not able to perform their duties for a period of 90 days consecutively, then they can have another 10-day grace period to get a doctor's letter and that sort of thing. So all of that time ran out for Ray on August 28th. So from August 28th, the Central Committee, by operation of law, has 45 days to act on appointing a successor to complete his term.
So I look at this as an opportunity to kind of lead the county in the right direction, so I appreciate your support.
Shasta Mass would announce that she'll be stepping away from her position as the Executive Director of the Education and Community Foundation, and that she would still be involved, but as a trustee.
I was a trustee previously, and it was time to really broaden the scope of the Education Foundation into a community foundation. And so I really took the job to see that through. And now I'll go back to being a trustee, and it's time for the next person to come in and really find their dream job. The community foundation is such a great place to work, to lead, to make an impact. So anyone who really feels like they'd like to make a difference, this is a great opportunity to impact a lot of lives.
The Holmes County Health Department would finally get to move into their new home on Glen Drive. It had been a long time coming, and everyone was finally glad to get their new building operational, which also worked as a training exercise as they were able to practice their continuing operations plan during the move.
They worked their tails off, and they're still working, and I told them it's going to take several months until you really feel comfortable over here, because as nice as this is, it's quite a bit more space than we had before. It's laid out differently. I really affirm all the work the staff did. I think we have a wonderful facility. We'll work through some of the bumps, and you'll get more comfortable as you go. I think it's a great facility that we can do a lot of great work. It's been great to see it go up, and I know there was a lot of different people involved in making this happen. So after talking about it for a long time, we're finally here. So appreciate everybody. And I know you guys are tired. You deserve a good day of rest, so to speak.
There's a lot of folks that have moved on that were waiting for the promise of a new space that were moved into the third floor. It was an emotional day being open for the first day of operations. I saw two ladies holding back, crying, just because they never thought they would have seen this happen. It's one of those things that you hear about it for so long, and then when it's here, you do realize how good it's going to be and how good it's for the going to be for the community. Just very appreciative of everybody who contributed to the process, and really thankful for Commissioner Miller. Without him really standing up for us and pushing to get this done, it could have been another 10 years in the third floor.
At the Ohio Swiss Festival, the unveiling of the new cheesemaker statue was celebrated. It was designed by world-renowned Zanesville artist Alan Cottrell and was placed in the center of the green space in Sugar Creek, right next to the world's largest cuckoo clock, and includes a seating area.
Ohio Swiss cheesemaking history began in the 1800s when Swiss immigrants settled in this area, bringing with them prized cheesemaking techniques. These skilled artisans recognized the potential of Ohio's lush farmland and the abundant dairy farms, and they established dairies that would become the backbone of our local economy.
Part of that is because of the Cheesemakers Association, the cheesemakers themselves, and all that you folks have been able to do with the Swiss culture here in Sugar Creek. So that's why this is here.
The Holmes County Antique Festival looked to its roots and added new events for 2024, bringing back some of the elements of the earlier festivals and added new events and bicentennial elements. New this year was trivia at the American Hall, Passport to Holmes County, and a game with merchant decals. They would continue the antique market and arts and crafts vendors. They would also have history talks and antique collections in the American Hall, and brought in music more akin to festivals of yesteryear. One special item brought to the festival this year, the carousel.
Prince County pottery for sale, and then we are raffling off a large piece of pottery that the potter made that has the bicentennial logo on it. So you have to stop in just so you can see that. It's a very nice piece. And we'll raffle that off on Sunday after the parade too. The rides will be free and or by donation. That'll be up to you if you decide to do that. We've picked four places that we're going to donate the funds that we've collected to. They're going to be H15, Holmes County Roots, Holmes County Special Olympics, and the Holmes County Dog Warden. Those are the four units that we're going to give the collections to at the end of our weekend. We thought that it'd be kind of nice because this whole antique festival in years before used to collect for those that were in need. So we're going to try to support some of the, we kind of picked kids programs and animal kind of things and that kind of thing and start with them.
180 would celebrate 50 years helping those in domestic violence situations and facing addiction issues. Celebrations would be held at the main office in Worcester and would include a mural on the side of the building done by local artists Allison Allison, Taya Stanford, and Eric Patch Adams Freeman. Director Bobby Douglas would share the history and introduce past and current board members and other important figures.
So I'm so proud of our work with those who used to be called deviants. We've created a place where people can feel safe, loved, and nurtured. And in return, we get to see incredible transformation and lives change. Beautiful are those whose brokenness gives birth to transformation and wisdom. And that's what we get to see every day here at 180. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the history of both Every Woman's House and what some of you may remember as Wayne County Alcoholism Services. Some of you may remember STEPS.
My best friend is a recovering addict, and so this was always on my list of murals to do. And it just so happened that Bobby Douglas reached out to me for the 50th and asked, could I do a mural for the building? So once she pinpointed the location, I gave them two designs to pick from, and they chose this rough draft design. So then I hired Eric and I hired Taya to help me put all this together.
New Historic Downtown Millersburg Director Taylor Sigler would approach Millersburg Council about putting a Dora in town with HDM Board President Robin Hartford, Chamber Director Tiffany Gerber, and several other business owners all supporting the addition of a Dora to the community. After a lengthy presentation including facts, charts, and examples, Council would give Sigler permission to continue forward with the process of obtaining a Dora.
The responses from businesses was 100% positive. So I received absolutely no negative feedback from the businesses and the HDM members who completed my survey. After that survey was put out, I was encouraged to do more research and I attended training with the Ohio Department of Commerce Liquor Control. And we continue to have internal discussions with our board and our HDM merchants.
I was a little skeptical before you started, but you provided a lot of good information that kind of swayed me to thinking that it might not be a bad thing. And the flexibility of allowing us to nix it if things are just going south on this. I liked what you said about the business owner staying open longer. That was enticing to me to hear that.
A piece of Millersburg past would be found in a Gettysburg thrift shop after being saved from a hoarder's house. The finder, unaware of what she found, was encouraged to contact Randy Clark from Dexter City Auctions, who would tell her she had a rare people's vase made by Millersburg glass in honor of the birth of an heir in Holland. Until this find, no one knew this vase existed. Clark would announce that the vase would be part of his Saturday after Thanksgiving auction.
Well, this is certainly the holy grail of Millersburg. You know, blue is a rare color in Millersburg as it is. To find a radium piece in blue is next to unknown. And just the fact that it's a people's vase, I mean, this is it.
I've collected Millersburg glass for over 35 years. And we've known for a long time that there's eight. And I've always said that there's got to be more. Well, here's one.
According to the records, near the week that I have found, there was at least 12 of them made.
Something like this, when it's in this situation, you have so few known, it's whatever the market will bear.
Around the state, the record-breaking tornado season would continue by hitting 73 tornadoes for the year. Governor DeWine would declare states of emergency for four counties due to damage from the remnants of Hurricane Helene, and he would also activate some of the Ohio National Guard to send down to help first responders and fatality search and recovery. Help was requested by North Carolina through the Emergency Management Assistant Compact. Ohio Task Force 1 would stay south after Hurricane Helene and moved to Florida to help after the aftermath of Hurricane Milton, and AEP Ohio would send crews to Florida for help with Hurricane Milton as well. Columbus officials would approve more than $7 million to address the aftermath of their Cybersecurity Act, and an Ohio health vendor, Health Equity, says it experienced a data security incident. It became aware of the incident in March and investigated through June and made the announcement in October that personal information was involved impacting some current and former employees. AEP Ohio warned that utility bills could go up if big tech companies get their way in court. AEP wants the tech giants moving to Ohio to pay up front to make sure they make good on their promise to use it, and AEP can invest the money into the power grid to support the demand. A state audit found that First Energy largely did not rely on customers to pay for the bribery scheme for House Bill 6. Former CEO Tom Stauff of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium was sentenced to 7 years in prison, and the Pammy May trial was delayed again as they continue to work to a psych evaluation. She was accused of killing 5-year-old Darnell Taylor, who is the subject of a statewide Amber Alert. Senator Sherrod Brown announced the passage of the Building Chips in America Act, which would impact the Intel chip facility being built in Ohio, speeding up reviews for microchip manufacturing and preventing delays in manufacturing. And finally, Ohio has been raking in the benefits of the legalization of marijuana, with sales topping $76 million in just under 50 days. With this step back into 2024, I'm Melissa Patrick.